Welcome to the My Money podcast, number 126 from helpmetosave.com. I'm Karen Bryan, the editor of the Help Me To Save website, where you'll find tips to help you save money, spend less, and enjoy life. In this edition of the My Money podcast, I'll discuss three recent articles from the Help Me To Save website. They are Creating Art for Under £10, Using Contactless on Transport for London, and Asking How Much Money Is Enough Money. So starting off with Creating Art for Under £10. I decided to finally take my own advice to unleash my creativity. In the past, I've attended some free art workshops, which I really enjoyed, but I made excuses about being too busy with my online publishing business, plus not wanting to spend money on materials, and didn't get round to doing art at home. But I've discovered that supposedly needing to spend a lot of money to get started doing art is a bit of a myth. Based on my experience, here are my tips on how you can start creating art for under £10. This is just really to get started, to see if you enjoy it. There's no point in spending hundreds of pounds before you start in case you decide that you're not really enjoying it or you still never get around to it. I've seen people do that with hobbies. One of our neighbours in the past decided he was going to take up cycling. So he bought a really expensive bike, all the expensive gear, and they ended up hardly going out cycling. So I decided to take this approach with art. So the single item that I spent the most on was £4 on a gouache tempera set of paint, which included a free paintbrush. It had 12 moist cakes of paint and I bought it on Amazon. I liked the selection of colours in that set, and I think it's really important to have at least one decent brush when you start to paint. A cheap and nasty brush, like the one which came with a watercolour set that I'll describe below, is really useless. It can make you think that you'll never be able to paint. And I spent £2.80 on B-roll 24 jumbo oil pastels, again on Amazon. Now, the oil pastels I like the colours, nice vivid colours, and when I was starting painting, I often started doing the outline and doing some colouring in of certain things, maybe background green, trees, mountains in black or brown with these crayons. And here is the bargain, the discounting the brush, 79p in Home Bargains for a watercolour set of 12. The colours aren't as bright as the more expensive gouache set, but I find them to be very good for bases and backgrounds, but ditch the paintbrush. It's useless even for spreading glue. Home Bargains was good. I also bought 20 sheets of metallic card for 79 pence there, and I used these to cut out shapes such as flower petals and leaves to stick on my collages. Also, from Home Bargains, 89p bought me a selection of 20 sheets of card. Now, some of it was just coloured card, some was white, pink, yellow, but in with it there was a very nice kind of pearlised silver sheet and a couple of almost holographic sheets. So for 89p that was great. So that brought my total spend to £9.27 just to get me started. Now, I used the gouache tempera watercolours, the metallic and coloured card to create my first piece of art, yellow flowers, on a standard A4 sheet of paper, the type I use in my printer. I used a glue stick, which I already had in the office, to stick on the card petals, stems and leaves. And I used oil pastels to make a daisies picture below, again on a sheet of standard A4 printer paper. Now, once you've experimented with creating some art from under £10, you can decide if you wish to continue. In a later article, I'll be discussing which supplies, such as larger sheets of watercolour pad, canvases and acrylic paints you can buy to progress your art. I'll also be describing some of my techniques and showing you some more of my work. So obviously, to see my work, you need to go to the website at www.helpmetosave.com. I've set up a little widget in the sidebar which does a slideshow of my various pieces. The next article I'll discuss is using contactless on transport for London. During my recent trip to London, I tried out using contactless payment, whereby you swipe your debit or credit card on the card reader at ticket barriers or when you enter a bus. You don't need to physically insert the card into the machine and enter a PIN. I'd previously used a Transport for London Oyster card when travelling around London, which also allows you to swipe your card at the readers. The downside of the Oyster card was that I had to log into my online account and top it up for each trip. That's the Transport for London account. I was never sure exactly how much credit to add. I didn't want to add too much and have it sitting in my account for months until my next trip to London, but also didn't want to run out of credit. The charging structure for payment by contactless on Transport for London is the same as for an Oyster card, the same price per trip and daily caps. You can earn cash back on Transport for London journeys with some debit or credit cards. The Santander 123 credit card pays 3% cash back up to a maximum spend of £300 on travel, that's with Transport for London, train travel and or fuel per month. The TSB Classic current account pays 5% cash back on the first £100 of contactless payments per month until the 31st of December 2016. I found using contactless very convenient for my tube and bus journeys around London. In fact, I had fewer problems at card readers using my credit card than I have generally had in the past when swiping my Oyster card. Now, the third and final article from Help Me to Save, which I'll summarise, is asking the perennial question, how much money is enough money? So, like many people, do you feel you're trapped in the cycle of making money, but it never seems that you have enough money to live the life that you want? So how much money is enough money to achieve this life? The first thing you need to do is to work out how much your preferred lifestyle will cost. You need to be realistic and put everything into your budget. Be realistic and honest with yourself. Then once you know how much your lifestyle is going to cost, you need to work out strategies to achieve the required amount of cash. Now, I've been grappling with the issue of how much money is enough money with regard to retirement. I estimate that for a comfortable retirement based on today's prices, I'd need a gross income of around £50,000 per year. That's on the base of being married, so having two incomes in the household, and owning a property outright, therefore having no mortgage or rent to pay. However, there are several issues out with my control that I have to take into account. First of all, inflation. This is really problematic if prices keep going up a lot, especially on essential items like food and energy that you need to buy. So if prices keep going up and up, when you're retired, you want, ideally, your retirement income to be index-linked to keep up with the increase in prices. Now, another thing, you could say you can influence it how long will you live by being healthy, not eating too many cakes, doing more exercise, etc. But if I knew now how many years I'd live, I could apportion my savings to cover my lifetime. However, as I don't know how long I'm going to live, if I spend too much, I could run out of income in later life. But if I'm too conservative, I won't get the benefit of my savings. And tied into this is health. If my health becomes poor as I get older, I might not be able to keep working because I'm planning to work at least part-time as long as I can. I might need to pay for assistance. I might even need to go into residential care, which can be very expensive. And then there are external changes. For example, if the future UK government start to tinker with the tax and pensions regime, this could affect my income. If the annual personal income tax allowance increases significantly, which it's supposed to do, I might end up paying no tax on my pension and savings income. At present, on an annual income from employment and pensions, then £15,000, which is my target, on that amount I'd pay £880 in basic tax relief. Obviously, if the tax-free allowance was up to around the equivalent of £15,000, no tax, so that would be a good boost to my income. Then I did my calculations. From April 2016, the revised UK state pension will be paid at the rate of around £150 a week, as long as you have 35 years of national insurance contributions or credits. So that would give me an income of £7,800, which is more than halfway to my target of £15,000. However, I still have another 4 years of national insurance contributions to pay before I'll qualify for the state pension, and I've 10 years to go until I reach the state pension age of 66. When I was 55 last year, I used my stakeholder pension pot to buy an annuity, which gives me an index link that's linked to the retail price index, annual income of around £3,600. Adding my state pension to this, that's my income up to £11,400, leaving £3,600 to reach my goal of £15,000. The only way to guarantee that additional income of £3,600 would be to buy another annuity, but that would require a very large lump sum, well over £100,000. And although buying an annuity is good because it guarantees your income, it's inflexible in that once you buy the annuity, you have no control over the pension pot. Plus, annuity rates have dropped in the last 18 months since I bought mine. Instead, I could use a pension pot that I build up over the next 10 years for the more flexible income drawdown, where the remaining balance of the pension pot would be in my control. The downside of that is that it wouldn't guarantee an index-linked income for the rest of my life. If I put that pension pot into a stock market-based investment, it could rise or fall in value. If I left the pension pot in cash, it probably wouldn't retain its spending power unless 0% inflation becomes the norm, which we're getting at the moment around zero, maybe just under zero, but I doubt if that will stay for a few decades from when I'm 66, but who knows? Very difficult to judge anything. And as I mentioned earlier, though I plan to work at least part-time as long as possible, I can't guarantee income from employment as I'm self-employed. I currently require a fair chunk of my income to cover living expenses, so that doesn't leave me with enough cash to build up a large enough sum over the next 10 years to significantly increase my retirement income. Also, being self-employed means that you don't have any employer contributions to build up your pension pot. Now, with good companies and even under the auto-enrolment Nest Workplace Pension Scheme, employers are contributing towards employee pensions. So if I think about the time I was an employee, if I'd been putting 3 or 4% of my pay into a pension scheme and the employer had been matching that, then my pension pot would have been worth a lot more. So it's definitely a perk worth having. Now, I could say I'll use my savings to cover that extra £3,600 annual shortfall, take regular withdrawals from a cash ISA. But again, low interest rates, high inflation, my savings could run out by the time I'm into my 80s. So in conclusion, the solutions I can see to plugging the retirement income gap are to either significantly increase my earnings over the next 10 years, I don't know how easy that is in self-employment, or I could take risks with my savings in the quest for a higher potential return. The extra cash that I have, I could either increase my savings, buy another annuity, and or build up a large enough pension pot to provide an income top up through income drawdown during my retirement. Then I'd still have my current savings to fall back on. But I also want to enjoy life for the next 10 years, not be predominantly focused on trying to make more money from my business to enjoy my retirement. But if I don't build up enough money to fund my retirement, and I'm left short of money at a stage in my life when perhaps I'm not able to work and my health is poor so my expenses have gone up, that's not great. So, how much money is enough money for my retirement? To cover the worst case scenario, probably more than I'll ever have. With this realisation, I could act in different ways. Think, oh, why bother when I'll never have enough money anyway, at least between the state pension and the annuity I bought. It's enough to live on if I reduce my expenses. But you've got to bear in mind, is the state pension guaranteed to continue for the next 30, 40, 50 years? Who knows? I hope so, because I wouldn't like to try living just on my annuity of £3,600. However, very hard to predict the future. And there is an alternative to just decide that I'm going to live on less during retirement, but I don't know if that's a good idea. It's back to, is it be prudent today to enjoy tomorrow, or jam today, forget about tomorrow? Again, if you knew how long you were going to live, it would be easier to plan. It's very tricky. You've got to think about it. You've got to think about what your own priorities are. But I've come to the conclusion that I'll tread the middle ground. I will enjoy the present, keep working, and save any extra cash that I earn towards retirement to give me a bit of a top up to increase what I'll get from the state pension and from my current annuity. So unfortunately, no easy answers to that dilemma. So that's the end of this edition of the My Money podcast from Help Me to Save. You can come to the website to read all the articles in full at www.helpmetosave.com. You can subscribe to the My Money podcast from Help Me to Save in iTunes. So thanks for listening, and do join me again soon for another edition of the My Money podcast.